The Psalms invite us to offer lamentations, thanksgiving, and praises to our true God. They help us truly worship God. Will you please rise if you are able to join me as we call ourselves to worship? Let us incline our hearts to the wisdom of God. Let us seek integrity and understanding. The testimonies of God are wonderful. God's law gives us light to all who hears it. If you accept God's words and store up his commands within you, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver and search for it as a hidden treasure, then you will find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth comes truth and understanding. God holds victory in stores for the upright, and shields who walk is blameless.
Please join me in singing hymn number 423, Jesus Shall Reign Where the Sun.
Our creative God fashioned us in his image and did not make us perfect. Will you please remain standing as we state our flaws before God and one another? Almighty and compassionate God, every day in our desire to retain our wants, avoid discomfort, and shun those we do not love,
we show ourselves to be unworthy of your gifts of life.
Let us be our sorely aware, and we ask in your power to renew
us in body and spirit,
that we will be able, through your help, to walk in the way you intended us. Forgive us and lead us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Therefore, I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Let us share Christ's peace with all we meet. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please share Christ's peace with those around you with a wave or a nod, and then be seated. Will you please pray with me? Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voices but your own, so we may hear your word and also do it. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to be reading from James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. My brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers, because we know that we are teachers will be judged more strictly. We all make mistakes often, but those who don't make mistakes with their words have reached full maturity. Like a braille horse, they can control themselves entirely. When we braille horses and put bits in their mouths to lead them wherever we want, we can control their whole bodies. Consider ships. They are so large and strong winds are needed to drive them, but pilots direct their ships wherever they want with a little rudder. In the same way, even though the tongue is a small part of the body, it boasts widely. Think about this. A small flame can be set a whole force on fire. The tongue is a small flame of the fire, a world of evil at work in us. It contaminates our entire lives. Because of it, the circle of life is set on fire. The tongue itself is set on fire by the flames of hell. People can tame and already have tamed every kind of animal, bird, reptile, and fish. No one can tame the tongue, though. It is restless evil, fully of deadly poison. With it, we both bless the Lord and the Father and curse the human beings made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing come from the same mouth. My brothers and sisters, it just shouldn't be this way. Both fresh water and salt water don't come from the same spring, do they? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree produce olives? Can a grapevine produce figs? Of course not. And fresh water doesn't flow from a saltwater spring either.
I am so glad that the Trinity Choir is back. And that is a wonderful ode and hymn of praise for music, which is what they do. They lift our hearts with music. So thank you, Trinity Choir. Thank you, Mindy, for gathering them. Kathy, for playing.
Thank you.
The second reading today brings us again into Mark chapter 8. Jesus has fed the 4,000 and cured a blind man at Bethsaida. And now we're going to hear some changes, some ways of perceiving Jesus by his disciples. Beginning at verse 27 of chapter 8. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist," and others said, "Elijah," and still others, "one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And Jesus sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, yesterday morning, I sat transfixed by the TV, watching and listening to the commemoration service for those killed on September 11th, 2001. Every now and then, the readers, who changed up every so often, and all of whom were related to one of the dead, paused to remember their loved one. At 2,977 names, the list was long. I could only make it through the seas before I had to stop. It was just too overwhelming. Names are very important to people. They tell us a great deal about who our parents hope we will become and how they hope we will relate to the world around us. Names can inform us of our family history. Just think of the men, usually, that you know whose name includes Junior or the Third, and George Herbert Walker Bush was named for his mother's father, banker George Herbert Walker. Somehow the Walker name disappeared when W arrived. Oh, well. Names can also be given as a way of expressing the child's uniqueness in the world. Yeah.
I'm going to write some names down. If you can't see it with this, I've got a bigger one. Ashanti?
Aiden.
Mia.
Calliope. And this one's really weird. I don't know this one at all. M-A-K-A-I. Mackay? You know? Yeah.
People who name their children with words that sound kind of like what we know, but spell them very differently. You've got
just
change pages. You've got V E L V. Got an idea what I'm going for?
R.
Javier.
Javier with two X's, right?
That's a lot of names. A lot of different spellings. You know, most of us have common names.
Or things that we believe are
common.
Lillian. Well, maybe now I think you're starting
to hear Lillian again. Albert. Larry.
Yeah, we know a Larry, but he's not a kid. The real question is,
what does a particular name mean? I looked up a few. Samantha. Samantha, the feminine of Samuel, means God has heard. John, and its feminine version, Jane.
Means God is gracious. The name
Lawrence, back to Larry, that's an interesting one. It comes to us from the Roman city of Laurentum, which was believed to have been named because of all the laurel bushes in that region.
And the name William, means desiring a helmet of protection. It is not surprising that it first became popular right after William the Conqueror, who did have helmets, became the first Norman King of England. So do any of you know what your name means? I wonder how, if at all, living with your name has affected your life. Do you have memories of how you got your name or when you first learned what your name meant? I know Hinda does. Does that information change the way you approach life? And would the fact that your name had a biblical tie, like Timothy, where's Tim? Timothy, and Elizabeth, Liz, and Anna, Anna, or Adam, the cook's son, does that tell you how you ought to live your life? Now, the name Mary gave her baby Jesus is actually derived from the name Joshua, or as is said in Hebrew, Yeshua. It means Yahweh is salvation. God saves. That's a fairly potent claim for a poverty-stricken young mother to name her baby. God saves. Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" Was he John the Baptist, which means God is gracious through baptism? Was he Elijah the prophet? The name means my God is Yahweh. Who do people say that I am? Who do people say that I am? What do people call Jesus? I've brought, actually it's more than 2 pages of different names that I just found about Jesus. But each of you has one of those names on the little folded paper. And if you all would, pretty please, yell out the name that you see on your paper for others to hear. Anybody want to try? Anybody want to go?
Come.
Emmanuel. Holy and righteous one. Son of God.
Image of the invisible God.
Morning star. Morning star. Messiah. I got a bunch. Go ahead.
Capstone.
The way. Anybody else? Son of man.
Author of all life.
Alpha and Omega. Light of the world. Lamb of God. Wow. I'm getting goosebumps hearing all of them. And each name is slightly a slightly different vision of who Jesus is. And it subtly changes the way in which we see this man. The Lamb of God conveys the innocence of God's being. While somebody should have the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Anybody got that one? No? It was in the basket. It invokes a roaring defender of God's people. A holy and righteous one? Is someone set apart from others through actions of justice, while the author of all life reminds us of the creative powers of a supreme being? Did anybody get the rock? Yeah, the rock points to a firm foundation that this person is in our lives. And mediator is someone who serves as a bridge between various parties. Did anybody get the bread of life? Yeah, the bread of life helps us understand that we will be sustained spiritually by Jesus. Just as baked flour and water sustain our bodies. Now, each of these names are metaphors that help us understand our relationship with God, yet none of them are as powerful as Yeshua.
I want this
Yahweh saves. Only God can pull any human being from the grip of death. Only God can free us from our misery, liberate us from the prisons that bar us from joy, and redeem us from our sin. So here's a question for you. Think about it for a moment, then write it down on the piece of paper. Who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? Now, another question for you. What does that name mean to you? What does that name mean to you? And one more question. This is the biggie. What are you willing to do for that name? What are you willing to do for that name? A few minutes ago, I wrote the name Javier on the board over here. It's a Hispanic interpretation for, I think, James. But in Hispanic cultures, the name Jesus is rather common. Jesus. Jesus. Can you imagine being reminded every time you hear your name that God is salvation? The name alone comes with heavy expectations on your life. Maybe even the image of a heavy cross would come to your mind every time you heard your name. In today's reading, we heard Peter name Jesus the Messiah, which in Greek is Christos, the Christ. For him, Jesus was the Christ, the one who had been anointed by God as righteous and virtuous, as the Son of God. And this is the only time throughout all of Mark's gospel that the disciples actually understand who their leader is. Yes, they are portrayed as being extremely dense. And that's when their leader invites them to pledge their loyalty, their faithfulness, indeed their whole being, to him. He said, "All who want to come after me must say no to themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." It's no longer just about saying who he is to them. Jesus expects his disciples to follow his way, be willing to walk the same path he walks, face the same challenges he faces. It's living into their faith, even if it means being mocked, being tortured, or executed as if they were criminals. He's not talking about taking up a cross when you suffer the annoying neighbor next door, or even if you live at South Lake Tahoe and are facing the Caldor fire, and that is a pretty big cross. But neither is he telling them that they are to seek out martyrdom. He's simply reminding them that they'll need to foresee that taking up his cross means being willing to suffer the consequences of being associated with him. Jesus tells them they're to lose their life for his sake and for the sake of the good news. They're to put Jesus's priorities and purposes ahead of their own comfort and security. He's reminding these people that he expects them to be willing to use their time and their talents and their financial resources so others are able to experience God's love as they are. Giving of oneself for the well-being of others is a huge challenge. We're so easily distracted by, you know, the shiny baubles of life, the prestige of being in charge of something or someone, the desire to take care only of ourselves and ignore the neighbor's ill health, the pride of being the most knowledgeable person when it comes to reading scripture or citing scripture. Our fixation on our own needs is nothing new. How many disciples stood at the foot of Jesus' cross during the crucifixion? How many? Two. Where were the others? They deserted him at his death in favor of saving their own lives. And that is the greatest shiny bubble of all. As his followers, we may be made in God's image, but we are imperfect. We are flawed. Only Jesus is capable of perfectly following his own requirement. So where is the good news in Jesus' death and the disciples' desertion? Who do you say Jesus is? Yeshua means God saves, and God saved Jesus from everlasting death. Throughout his life, Jesus poured himself out in loving kindness for the hungry, the sick, the poor, and the downtrodden. And then he gave the ultimate gift of himself for the world. He offered himself to save imperfect people from damnation. As Jesus' followers, we believe he gave up his life in love of humankind, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Whoever gives up his life for him will have everlasting life. A person's name is very important. Mary named her son in hope that he would save the world, but also in hope that he could show people the goodness of God in more personal ways. So I saw Jesus on the TV yesterday morning. Not the face you saw on your bulletin, but in those brief hugs that were shared by the people who read the names of the dead, one after the other. And when one little girl took off her mask because it was just too hard to talk through it at such an important time, I saw the older woman standing next to her support her by removing her own mask. Whatever walls had necessarily been raised were torn down in love. And the two soon left the stage side by side. Jesus was with them as they stood there. He held their hands as they spoke of memories of a loved one long departed. He cradled their hearts as their tears flowed down, and the older woman, it was obvious. And yes, Jesus was living into the meaning of his name. Yeshua saves. Yahweh saves. God saves. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you rise as you are able and speak with me the words of our affirmation of faith? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended into hell. He arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please join me with hymn number 503, Come, Risen Lord.
You all may be seated. Do you remember the 1990s or the 80s? How crazy and simple things were at the same time? The last 20 years have been quite something else, haven't they? As people who have, for the most part, lived through these last 20 years, and I know Aaron, for one, has not. Jonathan, were you alive on? No. I know nothing of what was past. We are still needing to heal. And in honor of the anniversary, and in recognition of our need for healing, I have invited three others to share with me in leadership of a responsive litany. If our leaders will stand and take their places. O God, our hope and refuge, in our distress we come quickly to you. Our hearts are broken over the destruction and loss we remember this day.
The shock and horror of that tragic day have subsided. Replaced now by an emptiness, a longing for an innocent's loss.
Even so, O Lord, we remember on that day of human carnage, yours was the first heart to break. We are mindful of the sacrifice of public servants who demonstrated the greatest love of all by laying down their lives for friends.
We commit their souls to your eternal care and celebrate their gifts to a fallen humanity.
We come remembering, and we come in hope, not in ourselves, but in you.
Through remembering, may we find new comfort in your care.
In our remembering, may we be drawn to the new hope for the whole world, and may we gain for ourselves a measure of your peace. We pray at last that you would cultivate such love in us that we may reach out in compassion to all those who are still wounded by the events of that day.
And from the tumult in which the world has lived since then.
And in seeking to heal others, may we experience a love that makes us whole. This we pray in the strong name of Jesus our Christ. Amen. You may be seated. I have been asked to remind you that we are going to take the elements simultaneously together when I invite you to do so. You're welcome to prepare your cup and wafer even now. Oh, my brothers and sisters, this is the Lord's table. This is Christ's table, Yeshua's table. It is not a Presbyterian table. It is not your kitchen island at home. It is the place at which Jesus and his closest followers have gathered after long days of preaching and teaching and healing those broken in body and mind and spirit. It is the place where all who have faith in him are welcomed. So come, come to this table of grace where you shall be known by breaking bread together with the one who saves. May the God of glory be with you. Lift your hearts to the one who whispers hope and grace to you. Let us sing songs of praise to God. Let us pray. The heavens tell the story, O God, of glory and wonder, of how your wisdom moved and the waters churned with life, of how your word danced through the fields of creation, the valleys and mountains singing their praise to the end of the world. You stood alone at the corner of grace and hope, calling us to play with you in Eden. But we refused, turning our backs as we raced down the dim alleys of temptation and seduction. Your prophet came among us with words of sound advice, but we ignored them, our ears stuffed with the siren songs of sin. So you sent Jesus to us to teach us the cost of redemption, the suffering he would endure that we might have life in you. Now, with the wayward and the foolish, with the wise and the faithful of every time and every place, we lift our voices to you.
Holy,
holy,
holy
are you,
God, our rock and redeemer.
All
creation proclaims your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, true God of all life, and blessed is Jesus, your anointed child. He came to us, standing in village squares to declare your good news for all, walking the streets of the city to call us to follow him. Though we smack his hands away, excuse me,
continues to stretch
them out to us, the friend and companion our hearts yearn for in every moment. Despised by those who didn't understand him, rejected by those closest to him, he took up his cross and followed you into death, where you raised him to new life, that we might know him for who he truly is. As we give thanks for his life and death, as we celebrate his ministry and resurrection, we speak of that ministry that we call faith. Christ has died, losing his life for our sake. Christ was raised, taming death's poison. Christ will come that we may proclaim his name. Here in these moments and in this place, pour out your spirit of life and hope upon the wayward and the foolish, on the wise and the faithful who are gathered around your table, and upon the gifts of bread and cup. As the healing touch of the bread of life rests upon our tongues and hearts, may we use them as a blessing, speaking words of hope and grace, becoming the voice of those ignored by the powerful of our world. As the taste of the cup of salvation tingles deep within our souls, may we go to take up our crosses, following Jesus into service and sacrifice to all made in your beloved likeness. And when the Son of Man comes in your glory, when we are gathered around the banquet in the kingdom, we will join our voices with our sisters and brothers, singing of your grace, your peace, your love, forever and ever, God in community, holy in one. O Lord, we have been born in your word, and yet we find it difficult to listen patiently and to speak after thought. We grow agitated, even angry, and we do so ever more quickly. Slow us down, O Lord. Help us to remain calm in even the most difficult discussions.
And help us to be doers of your word rather than people who hear it with only our ears and not our hearts. Help us to study your word,
to seek opportunities
in which we may live
into it for the good of this earth and its peoples. We especially pray this as the ongoing heartbreak of how to live in this time of COVID continues to divide us. We ask you to lead us to care for the people who are most in need, the weak, the young, the poor, the hungry, the homeless, the ill, the dying, and those who do not know where to turn to find the love and security only you can provide. Father, we pray that in your wisdom you will guide the leaders of this world to show compassion to their people, and that you will strengthen your body on earth so that we may glorify your righteousness. We pray, too, for all those whom we have named here today in our hearts. We trust that you will do what is best for them, and that you will wrap the warmth of your mercy and care around them as a mother does for her children. O Lord, when you came to earth in Jesus' form, as an older brother, as a mother, as a father, you taught us to pray using these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, sat to supper with his disciples, and he took the bread, and after he blessed it and gave thanks for it, he tore it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which has been broken for you. Whenever you eat of it, do so remembering me." And in the same way, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant, the new promise sealed in my blood, which has been shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do so in remembrance of me." Every time you eat of this bread and drink of this wine, you do so proclaiming the life, the death, the resurrection of the living Lord until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us share in this holy meal.
Let us pray. Living Christ, you have opened the scriptures to us and made yourself known to us in the breaking of the bread. Let us now go forth, fed at this table and filled by your Spirit, to walk with you all the days of our lives, proclaiming the glory of your resurrection to all the world. Amen.
Stand and sing hymn number 302, I Danced in the Morning.
are important. Yeshua means
God saves. But Jesus
asked his
disciples, and Jesus asks you, who do
you say
I am?
Who do you say Jesus is? Whoever you say Jesus is, I invite you, I urge you to go out into the world
to share. Share who Jesus is to you with everyone you meet. For he is the Lord of the dance.
And he
moves within your spirit. And he will save all
whom you show his love. Go out in peace, knowing
that God, the God who gives us grace, Jesus who gives us love, and the Spirit who draws us together with